Bible, our second reading to the book of Numbers, chapter 27. Numbers, chapter 27, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Then came the daughters of Zelophehad, the son of Hepher, the son of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, of the families of Manasseh, the son of Joseph. And these are the names of his daughters: Mahla, Noach, and Hogla, and Milcah, and Tirzah. And they stood before Moses, and before Eleazar the priest, and before the princes, and all the congregation by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, "Our father died in the wilderness, and he was not in that company of them that gathered themselves together against the Lord in the company of Korah, but died in his own sin and had no sons. Why should the name of our father be done away from among his family, because he hath no son? Give unto us, therefore, a possession among the brethren of our father." And Moses brought their cause before the Lord. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "The daughters of Zelophehad speak right. Thou shalt surely give them a possession of an inheritance among their father's brethren, and thou shalt cause the inheritance of their father to pass unto them. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, If a man die and have no son, then ye shall cause his inheritance to pass unto his daughter. And if he have no daughter, then ye shall give his inheritance unto his brethren. And if he have no brethren, then ye shall give his inheritance unto his father's brethren. And if his father have no brethren, then ye shall give his inheritance unto his kinsman that is next to him of his family. And he shall possess it, and it shall be unto the children of Israel a statute of judgment, as the Lord commanded Moses." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Get thee up into this mount Abarim, and see the land which I have given unto the children of Israel. And when thou hast seen it, thou also shalt be gathered unto thy people, as Aaron thy brother was gathered. For ye rebelled against my commandments in the desert of Zin, in the strife of the congregation, to sanctify me at the water before their eyes, that is, the water of Meribah in Kadesh, in the wilderness of Zin. And Moses spake unto the Lord, saying, Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over this congregation, which may go out before them, and which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, and which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd. And the Lord said unto Moses, Take thee Joshua the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thine hand upon him, and set him before Eleazar the priest, and before all the congregation, and give him a charge in their sight. And thou shalt put some of thine honor upon him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. And he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall ask counsel for him after the judgment of Urim before the Lord. At his word shall they go out, and at his word they shall come in, both he and all the children of Israel with him, even all the congregation." And Moses did as the Lord commanded, and he took Joshua and set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation. And he laid his hands upon him and gave him a charge, as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. So we have in verses 1 through 11 the case of the daughters of Zelophehad. May I just say that in the ancient Near East, this would be an unheard of thing. This is an elevation of the status of women in the economy of God that was completely different from the world around the Israelites. And so, ladies, you need not fear that the Christian religion is something that denigrates womanhood. Not at all. The Christian religion does acknowledge that there are different roles for men and women, but that those roles are not indeed the way of one is exalted and the other is debased. Not at all. The Christian religion is indeed one that honors and elevates women to their proper status in the worshiping community. Notice also that the daughters of Zelophehad are honorable women. Oh, let me say something about the name. This causes some confusion. The name of one of the daughters there, her name is Noah. Now, this is not the same name as the patriarch that built the boat. The Hebrew is different, and if you were able to look the Hebrew up, you would see that there is indeed a difference. This is certainly a feminine name. It's not that as some have been want to. I think it's done really tongue in cheek that because the man Zelophehad did not have any sons, that he gave one of them a male's name. That's not true at all. It's not even close. So let's understand that this name Noah here is different. It's spelled differently from the patriarch that built the boat. Okay, just to answer that question. So moving on then. Note that they are honorable women in that they have this question. It's an honest question. And they have an honor in that they desire that their father's name not die out in Israel. Right? What would the expectation be that they would have? Well, that they would all be married and that the inheritance of their father then would pass somewhere else. And so his name, Zelophehad, and his family name in the tribe of Manasseh would fall into nothingness. And, of course, that in Israel, because the land was a type of their eternal inheritance, that would be a bad thing. And so they are honorable in that they are giving respect to the name of their father, to their family name, such that they would not be someone or that he would not be someone that was forgotten in Israel. So they come to Moses and notice they have a question about their religious practice. And so what do? They come to the minister and they ask that question. Again, that's a very honorable procedure. Notice how honorable Moses is. He says, I don't know. I've got to take this to the Lord. And so he takes their case before the Lord. First time it's ever happened. I don't know what to do here. Brothers and sisters, what's the right answer if you don't know the answer to a question? I don't know. So often we feel like we just need to give an answer. And so we give an answer, and then oftentimes we need to come back from that answer that we've given in haste. So notice all of the caution. Remember that caution we were talking about earlier? Notice the caution that's taking place here as well. And so Moses goes to the Lord, and the Lord gives him an answer. And the daughters of Zelophehad will have their father's inheritance. It will be divided unto them. And this is made a perpetual statute in Israel. And so this is a wonderful circumstance where there was a question. It was brought to the leaders of the church to answer. They inquired at the mouth of God. The Lord gave the answer, and the answer was implemented for all of Israel. What a wonderful procedure that's almost never followed anymore. Right? I often tell people when they call me up with a problem in this church or that church, I always say, Presbyterianism is the most wonderful form of church government that no one ever uses. Brothers and sisters, let's make use of those things. This is indeed the Lord's establishment. And so it became a statute of judgment as the Lord commanded Moses. Secondly, verses 12 through 14, we have this statement of the Lord telling Moses to go up to Mount Abarim, another name for Nebo. Again, some of these mountain names, they seem to be different, but that's because, remember, that mountain peaks are very, very often, they're just, you know, a slight little elevation over one another in a range, right? A mountain range. Now, the mountains in Israel, let's understand, they're not mountains like here in Texas, we might call them mountains. But if you were raised where I was in Southern California, that's not a mountain at all, right? I mean, you know, right outside the L.A. basin, there's a 10,000-foot peak. So, but these are mountains, but they're more like hills with, you know, and so Abarim, Nebo, you know, part of the same complex. There may be some different names. And that's why, Where did the Ark of Noah land? Most of you will say it landed on Mount Ararat. You know that's not what the Bible says. It doesn't say that. The Bible says that the ark came to rest in the mountains of Ararat. Well, that's a different thing, isn't it? Yeah, it is. Okay, so here we are then. The Lord tells Moses, it's time to go up to Abarim and to die. It's time for you to give up the ghost. It's time for you to die in Mount Abarim. You're not going to go into the land because of what you did at Meribah. And I know I've told you this before, but every time it comes up in Scripture, you can anticipate Pastor Riddell's going to mention it again. Are you ready? Brothers and sisters, the things that we do in a moment's indiscretion can have lifetime consequences. Please don't ever forget that. The things that we do in a moment's indiscretion can hurt us for years and years to come, perhaps until the end of our lives. Moses, after leading the people of Israel for 40 years through the wilderness, coming to the end of his own strength at several points along the way and losing it, if you will, in one of those episodes of losing it, he denigrated the honor of God in the face of the congregation and lost his love for the congregation that God gave him to lead. And because of that, the Lord said, no. Moses asked the Lord on two more occasions about that, and the Lord finally told him, don't ask me again. The answer will always be the same. Brothers and sisters, take care that in a moment's indiscretion, you do not ruin the rest of your life. In one of those illustrations, you remember the illustration. At least I hope you do. I'll never forget it. We had a young friend. I was in high school. He was one of our church guys. And I didn't know him that well, but I knew him. And we were at a pool party. And he jumps in the pool in the wrong end and hits his head in the shallow end and breaks his neck. And for the rest of his life, you know, we were screwing around, just having fun, not thinking. And now he's nothing but a memory from the chest down. A moment's indiscretion. Now, under the Lord's hand, that difficulty, we pray, has done him some good. I don't know him today, so I can't testify to that. But brothers and sisters, there are other indiscretions as well that will ruin our lives. And yes, there is mercy and there is forgiveness with the Lord. And yes, if we sin grievously and scandalously at certain points in our lives, we may indeed suffer chastisement for the rest of our lives. But the chastisement for the people of God is certainly salutary. So let's remember that as well. And so for that moment's indiscretion now, Moses is instructed, up you go into Mount Abarim and there you will die. But notice what Moses learned. Because what was that indiscretion? That indiscretion was, you rebels, shall we bring forth water from this rock for the likes of you? That's paraphrased what he meant. But notice what he does here. The Lord says, you're not going to lead them into the land of promise. Moses says, Oh Lord, please give them a man to lead them into the land of promise, that they should not be sheep without a shepherd. You see how those chastisements have turned Moses' heart? So now his only concern is for that sheep, for those sheep, for that flock of the Lord. And so what does he pray for? Not, please let me lead them into the land, but Lord, please provide a shepherd for them to lead them in the way. Oh, that is so very refreshing, isn't it? And so what do we have then? We have all of the instructions that God gives to Moses pertaining to his successor, Joshua. One of the things that I had an opportunity to make mention of, and Dr. Talbot certainly let me know it a little bit later, you know, we were talking about the men that are being raised up in Florida. And I said to the congregation during the sermon, I said, you know, one thing that Dr. Talbot and I recognize is that we're not going to be here forever. And Dr. Talbot comes on later and he says, well, as Pastor Riddell so lovingly spoke of my demise. Well, that was funny. It was funny. But, you know, none of us are going to last until the end. We're only going to last until our own end. And so our desire then ought to be for those who will indeed carry that faith from generation to generation to generation. Not only in our families and our children, but also in the church. And so, brothers and sisters, that's why every week we pray for the leaders of the church that God would raise up for the next generation. Thus ends the reading then of Numbers chapter 27. Let's stand and continue praising God.